In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And if you are visiting in our area, we would love for you to visit our church. Our services are at 9 a.m. and 10:15 a.m. We have Sunday school on opposite hours. And we have a Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. And so if you're there, please stop by and ask for me. I would love to greet you, shake your hand. And we're continuing in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And God has designed another trial for Israel to test them. And this trial is lack of water. Now, they're complaining and they're threatening God and testing God and basically saying God and Moses have brought them out there to kill them. Now, Moses, after being complained to, he's now going to complain to God. Let's pick up in verse 4 of chapter 17. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod, which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now Moses is frustrated. Think about this. The whole people are grumbling. We're talking 1 to 3 million people thirsty. That's a rabid crowd if it's coming down to the essentials to stay alive. And his assessment of the situation is this: "Moses, I don't know how to lead these people." That's what he's thinking to himself, and that's essentially what he tells God. And he is frustrated, but God is going to respond in a gracious way once again with patience. And this is a great reminder for us as parents or those who deal with people who complain. We must maintain patience with these people. Now, Moses does not know how to lead these difficult people. That's very clear. That's why he is bringing this complaint to the Lord. And he mentions this stoning, and essentially he's fearing for his life now. This is a mob rule. They're going to stone him. They're literally going to rock him to sleep, if I could say that with a little bit of jest there. But this is the second mention of this concept of stoning in the scriptures. In the fourth plague, Exodus 8:26, Moses said, "It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abominations of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. And if we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us?" So this is an ancient practice that is done to essentially get rid of someone who's, let's say, a criminal or someone you are very displeased because they have evil intentions, great evil intentions. Now, the Lord's instructions harkens back to the very first plague in Pharaoh. "The rod which you struck the river, Moses and Aaron and elders, you saw this. And the point is for the people to see they are as rebellious as Pharaoh." But instead of bringing the rod down for judgment to Pharaoh, Moses will bring the rod down, bringing blessing and deliverance. God judged Pharaoh's rebellion with punishment. Here, God will forgive the rebellion, delivering them what they need. The other thing that's interesting is the Lord's presence and plan. He says God's going to be standing on the rock in Horeb. Now, Moses strikes the rock. This is Petra, not Petros, which is Peter. And it's a big, big rock, okay? Think of a granite or a wall of rock or maybe even the side of a mountain here. And water flows out of the rock, and the people drink. Now, we may look at this passage and go, okay, pretty simple. Water comes out of the mountain. But you have to remember, we're talking 1 to 3 million people. How in the world is striking one rock going to give enough water to 1 to 3 million people, plus their livestock? Fortunately, we have other insights from other passages that really help us understand what kind of miracle this really was. Deuteronomy 8:15 says, "Who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water? Who brought water for you out of the flinty rock?" So this tells us that this desert, well, it was not an oasis. Psalm 78:15, "He," that's God, "split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy." Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" So I want you now to picture in your mind, when Moses strikes this rock, it's not a little fountain of water. Look at those images, streams of water, gushing water. We're talking a fountain of water. And God is demonstrating that he is the one who brings water for life. It's a beautiful picture as our fountain. 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And I believe this gives us an insight again to some significant spiritual principles, and that is, God is the water of life. Christ says he gives us living waters. It's a beautiful picture of his provision for his people. Now, he will strike the rock again, Moses, one time for this situation in Exodus 17:1 through 7, but then another situation will occur and he'll strike the rock twice, and because of that disobedience, he will not enter the promised land. And by the way, you can think of these two events as bookends. You have the front end, this first strike, and then you have the back end with the second strike. Now, all these passages represent this amazing incident, but there's some more insights. Deuteronomy 6:16, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah." Jesus would later quote the first half of this verse when tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Do you see how the Lord turns their failure into a principle, a life lesson? And let me tell you, this is critical. When you go through a trial, you better figure out what the lesson is. Write it down. Memorize it. Because these are specific truths that God is developing in you. He is trying to create convictions so that you think and act the right way to please him. Deuteronomy 9:22, "Also at Tabor on Massah and Kibroth Hattaava, you provoked the Lord to wrath." So now we're getting more insights about how angry God really was. Deuteronomy 33:8, "And of Levi he said, let your Thummim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah and with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah." Do you see how this one event gets repeated in several places to show Israel they were disobedient? Psalm 95:8, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness." And Hebrews 3:8 repeats that same expression, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." One more additional insight. This is really technically the sixth trial that they've gone through. And there's going to be 10 trials that Israel's going to go through. And that 10th trial will be when the spies come back from the land and they rebel against the request to go into the land. Numbers 14:22 says this, "Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice." So what are these 10 trials? What I'd like to do is just briefly run through these. The first one was Exodus 14:10, "When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them." So the Red Sea event, that was the first trial. Notice these trials are beginning after they leave Egypt. The second trial, Exodus 15, 22 through 24. So Moses brought Israel through the Red Sea. They went out to the wilderness and they found no water. It was bitter. So that was the second trial. The third trial, Exodus 16, 1 through 3, where they did not have the bread and the meat. And so that one was another one. Then 16, 19, the testing of the manna, do not leave any of it until the morning. And others went, and the bread worms and stank. Then Exodus 16, the seventh day Sabbath, they broke that. Then here is the sixth trial in Exodus 17, 1. Then later in Exodus 32, 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron, and that's the golden calf. They rebelled there. Numbers 11, 1 through 3, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. This was the second time they cried out for meat. Numbers 11, 1 through 3, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So fire of the Lord burned around them and consumed some of them in the outskirts of the camp. The people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed, and the fire was quenched. So he called that name of the place Terborah, because of the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Then the ninth trial, this is Numbers 11, 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? So that's the second quail incident. And then finally, Numbers 14, 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And so on the 10th trial, when they were supposed to go into the land and conquer Canaan with the Lord's help, they rebelled and refused to go. And so Israel is giving 10 complete trials. Now think about this. You had in Egypt the 10 plagues of judgment, and then God brings them into the wilderness for 10 trials, and they fail. They continue to rebel. And as a result of those failures of those 10 trials, God sentences that generation to die in the wilderness. So here's a warning. As the Lord tests the Israelites in their rebellion, so the Lord may test you in your rebellion. This is such an important time for us to just pause and ask the question, how is the Lord testing you, and how are you responding to his tests? Israel has given us a multitude of examples not to follow. They are not how you respond when you are in a testing and when you're in a trial. In a trial, you must humble yourself. You must pray. You must seek God's word, and you must obey his word with an attitude of thanksgiving and a life of holiness and obedience. That is the only way to respond to God in a trial, with thanksgiving. And that was Paul's response, was it not? So for the rest of this week, spend some time reviewing. Maybe you're complaining right now. Maybe you recently have been complaining. Review that situation. Identify sin, confess it to the Lord, and ask him to help you in the next trial. Until then, may you continue to seek the face of God in prayer and in his word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.